Good morning.
Good morning.
How are y'all this morning?
Well, how are you?
I'm doing really well.
Blessed.
To proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof. Leviticus 25:10 just keeps rolling and rolling and rolling over in my mind. Every time I stop to talk to God about things, I'm looking at Jesus thinking that's who you are, that's what you do, that's what you came to do, and how wonderful it is to just do that. I trust, for those of you who are keeping up, that it's been happening to you, but I know it's just been absolutely invigorating me to focus. As I've looked through now, this has been going on for several weeks, looking at liberty ever since going back to, July the 5th, when we talked about conceived in liberty, talking about our country and the foundation of our country and how you can't separate this country from God. I don't care how you feel about it. The people who came here made a covenant, said this land, this nation is going to be for the advancement of the Christian faith. And we got people trying to tear it up as hard as they can. It doesn't matter. And we've got academia that hasn't taught children for a full generation or two, actually. My generation didn't really learn it very well either. That God is a very integral part of everything that goes on here. The whole thing was his idea. And so that's one of the reasons the enemy can't stand it, and one reason that all the ignorant people hate it. Because they don't even know why. we don't know why we hate our country. We just think we're supposed to. Well, it's just demonic inspiration. That's right. What Julie said, Proverbs, she reminds me of that time to time when we're talking about things. Proverbs says the wicked don't even know what they're stumbling around about. They hate it and they don't know why. Well, we do. It's just a God thing. Hallelujah. So, last week I sort of apologized for keep going here, and I just quit because it seemed like every place I open up the book now, I'm seeing this thing about the people being free. And unlike what I know I grew up with, although it is true that people need to be redeemed from sin, that what we've been talking about in context from Hebrews and from Galatians especially, today we're going to look at Colossians, is the idea that it's not just, quote, the sin and the devil out there that's been causing people problems, going all the way back to several weeks ago where we talked extensively about Jesus saying that, did Isaiah prophesy of you that, you know, their lips are here, but their hearts are far from me, and that they are teaching for as doctrine the commandments of men. And then a few verses down, 13th verse in 7th chapter, Mark, where he said, you know, these traditions of men make the word of God of no effect. And we went through that over and over, but I'm still going over it, so I'm dragging you in with me. What that means is you get so much other stuff in there that the truth and the fruit of the word, that meat of the word of God, gets lost in the process. And people don't know which ones are which. And often the traditions of men actually overshadow to the point to where people don't, it's covering up what God said. Sometimes it's even opposed to the things that God said. So when I was writing the Monday Morning High, in the middle of it, almost the middle, I was reminded of the second chapter of Colossians, specifically verse 14, and I learned it that Jesus has blotted out the handwriting that was against of the ordinances that was against us, having taken it out of the way having nailed it to the cross. And so it just fired me up all over again, because I was talking about Galatians 5, which is where we were last week. Stand fast in liberty. Christ has set you free, and do not become entangled again in a yoke of bondage. What we said was the bondage that we're talking about here is not, quote, sin the way we think about it. The bondage is the consciousness of sin, which Hebrews talked about. Remember, we went through a number of verses from the 10th chapter of Hebrews last week to go through that and point out that's what the writer was talking about as we got over into the 12th chapter, looking unto Jesus. Okay, so are y'all back up with me? You caught up to speed? Okay. Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free. Stand fast in liberty. Christ has set you free, and do not become entangled again in a yoke of bondage. So that's what I was thinking about, and I was reminded about Colossians 2, which y'all, if y'all want to, you can look over to the second chapter of Colossians. I think we're going to do the same kind of thing with that we did last week with Hebrews 10, because if I remember correctly, there's 24 verses in there. And I'm trying to go through there and pick out the ones that we should be bringing out and emphasizing. And they're all good, you know. So for time's sake, though, we pulled out some to spotlight or highlight. First of all, let's stay on the 14th for a moment. I learned it that Jesus had blotted out. That word literally means to smear out. But the smear is stronger than what we think about. It is not just blot. It's even not just wiped out. Some of the definitions of the word are given to obliterate. Totally cancel the handwriting of the ordinances that were against us. And the written record is a better translation. The written record. Let's keep going. Put this out to the Monday morning high of the ordinances. That word is dogma. Okay? Dogma. That Greek word dogma being used here has basically the same definition of our word that we use in English, dogma. It's basically just been pulled over. And here's the definition: a doctrine or a corpus of doctrines